Please join me as I pray. Our Father and our God, your word is a gift to your people. And as your people coming together today, we ask that you would speak to us through your word, be the light that guides us and shines on us and enlightens our hearts and our minds that we may see Jesus more clearly. And we pray in his name, amen. Well, you remember just before Easter, we celebrated a service known as Maundy Thursday, in which we focus on the mandate that Jesus gave to his disciples on the night in which he was betrayed, in which he said to them, "My command to you is to love one another as I have loved you." And the disciple, John, is the one who recorded those words and reports them to us in his gospel. And so for the next several weeks during the season of Easter, we're going to look at another letter that John wrote, the book of 1 John. And the book of 1 John goes into a little bit more detail in terms of what love is actually all about and what it means to love one another as Christ has loved us. So let's look today at 1 John chapter 1, and we'll read all the way through chapter 2, verse 11. "That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked at and our hands have touched, this we proclaim concerning the word of life. The life appeared, we have seen it and testify to it. And we proclaim to you the eternal life which was with the Father and has appeared to us. We proclaim to you what we have seen and heard, so that you also may have fellowship with us. And our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. We write this to make our joy complete. This is the message we have heard from him and declare to you. God is light. In him there is no darkness at all. If we claim to have fellowship with him, yet walk in the darkness, we lie and do not live out the truth. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, his Son, purifies us from all sin. If we claim to be without sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. But if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just and will forgive our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. If we claim we have not sinned, we make him out to be a liar, and his word is not in us. My dear children, I write this to you so that you will not sin. But if anybody does sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous one. He is the atoning sacrifice for our sins, and not only for ours, but also for the sins of the whole world. We know that we have come to know him if we keep his commands. Whoever says, 'I know him,' but does not do what he commands, is a liar, and the truth is not in that person. But if anyone obeys his word, love for God is truly made complete in them. This is how we know we are in him. Whoever claims to live in him must live as Jesus did. Dear friends, I am not writing you a new command, but an old one, which you have had since the beginning. This old command is the message you have heard. Yet I am writing you a new command. Its truth is seen in him and in you, because the darkness is passing and the true light is already shining. Anyone who claims to be in the light but hates a brother or sister is still in the darkness. Anyone who loves their brother or sister lives in the light, and there is nothing in them to make them stumble. But anyone who hates a brother or sister is in the darkness and walks around in the darkness. They do not know where they are going because the darkness has blinded them." This is the word of the Lord. So love is many different things. And we're going to focus today on the fact that love is confessional. Now, we see this word sin in this passage several times. Not a popular word these days, and it's even less popular to speak of how we need to confess our sins. And yet, what's interesting is that all of us, regardless of our background, regardless of our religious beliefs, all of us acknowledge that things in this world are simply not as they should be. And there is something in human nature that makes us want to confess our flaws. Now, as I was working on the sermon this week, I came across an article in the New York Times from 2006. And the article told the story of a storefront in New York City in which two artists created an exhibit that allowed passers-by to alleviate their guilt. Here's what the article said. It said, these two artists, dressed as washerwomen, held a sign reading, "Air your dirty laundry, 100% confidential, anonymous, and free." Onlookers were encouraged to write their deepest secrets on a piece of paper, and when they had disappeared from sight, the two women would collect these pieces of paper and display them in the window for all to see. Sins and secrets ranged from slightly humorous to sordid. And now, a few examples. The hermit crab was still alive when I threw it down the laundry chute. Another person said, I want to see all SUVs explode. Those people are so selfish. The third person said, my girlfriend and I think that Osama bin Laden has a sweet-looking face. Somebody felt the need to confess this. These are real confessions. And on a more serious note, someone wrote this, I've been married for 25 years and I'm about to start an affair. Another person wrote, I have never visited my dead parents' grave. Another person wrote, I'm dating a married man and I'm getting financial compensation in exchange for the guilt. I'm 25 and he's a millionaire. One person wrote, New York City makes me feel lonely. You get the idea. The article went on and said that these two artists who created this exhibit left horrified at the secrets that people were actually willing to tell in an effort to alleviate their guilt. And it goes to show us that there's something in us that makes us want to confess and to deal with our guilt. And listen, we all have guilt in some way or another. And so the question I want to deal with this morning is this: why do we need to confess our sins? I mean, why can't we just leave it behind and say, that's an old practice that they did in Bible times, let's just let it go? Why do we need to confess our sins? Well, this passage that we looked at in 1 John gives us two reasons. So let's look. First of all, the first reason is we need to be exposed. Now, verse 5 says, this is the message we've heard from him and declare to you. God is light, and in him there is no darkness at all. This is a common image that John used in referring to God. He referred to him as the light. Now, obviously, light is something that gives us guidance and direction. It gives us warmth. But we often forget the fact that light actually exposes all of our flaws, right? But furthermore, we forget the fact that that can actually be a very freeing thing. To be exposed for who you really are means we no longer have to go through the energy of trying to cover up and hide our true self. Now, I imagine many of you remember back in the 80s, there was a popular preacher and televangelist by the name of Jim Baker. And Jim Baker did many different things in addition to his television show and his church and his amusement park and all of these different things that he did. He was caught in some pretty revealing scandals, not only involving prostitutes, but also involving embezzling money. And his whole career and ministry came crashing down. He served prison time and came out of that having genuinely repented and apologized for what he did. And a few years later, a Presbyterian minister by the name of Steve Brown interviewed him on a national radio show. And one of the things he said to him is this. He said, "Jim, I bet your time in prison had been incredibly difficult. And I bet the hardest thing about the whole experience must have been the shame and embarrassment you felt." But he reports that Jim Baker smiled and said this, "Steve, I'm glad it all happened." And his response was, "How can you be glad something like that happened?" And he said, "I'm glad it happened because now I can go anywhere and be with anybody in the whole world, and there are no raised eyebrows. I can go into any place and any social of circle outcasts, and nobody tells me that I ought to be careful because people might talk and I will hurt my reputation." He says, "People have already talked, and I don't have a reputation to hurt. It doesn't matter anymore. I'm free." That struck me as such an incredible confession to make. That because he had been exposed for who he really was, he was free and no longer had to try to be somebody else. Now, there is discernment that is needed. In other words, this passage is not calling any of us to just air our dirty laundry to anybody and everybody we see. There are times when we need to confess simply to God. There are times when you may need to confess to another person. And there are times each week when we confess corporately as a church. We confess our sins and we hear the assurance of pardon. So discernment and time and place and wisdom is needed in how we do that. But what John is trying to tell us is that the worst gossip that could ever be spoken about you was blared and nailed upon Jesus at the cross. In other words, when he says God is light, it means he has exposed you for who you are and he has freed you from having to try to pretend to be somebody else because Jesus accepts you no matter what. So that's the first reason we need to confess our sins. We need to be exposed to God. But there's a second reason, and that's this. We need to be expunged. I'm proud of this outline this week, you know, because I'm able to do two words that kind of sound similar, right? Exposed and expunged. But we need to be expunged, and here's what I mean. Verse 7, it says, "If we have fellowship with Jesus, his blood purifies us from all sin. And if we confess our sins, he's faithful and just and will forgive us our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness." In other words, what John is saying is that Jesus is not just in the business of forgiving our sins. He's also in the business of forgetting our sins. Several years ago, there was a woman out in the Midwest who was making this claim that she had been seeing visions of Jesus. And this became public, and as you can imagine, there was a lot of skepticism about it, particularly in the religious community, because she was saying that periodically Jesus would appear to her and she would have conversations with him. And so people got so irritated at her making these claims that a very high up bishop in the Catholic Church went to her and he said to her, "Listen, the next time Jesus appears to you, I want you to ask him the sins that I confessed in my most recent confession." Saying this to her because he knew that this would surely prove her wrong, because nobody but Jesus would actually know the sins that he confessed. And she said, "You actually want me to ask Jesus the sins that you confessed in your last confession? And he said, yes, I want you to do that. And so a week later, she made this claim that she had another vision of Jesus and conversed with him. And so the bishop came to her and said, did you ask him what I asked you to ask him? And she said, yes, I did. And he said, I want you to tell me exactly what he said to you when you asked him the sins that I confessed. And this dear woman took the bishop's hand and she said, Father, these were his exact words. He said, I can't remember. And you say, well, yeah, that was just a cop-out because she was making the whole thing up. Perhaps. But I'm telling you, theologically, she was correct. See, Jesus gives us the good news that he not only forgives our sins, but forgets. And the reason John opens this letter by telling us about how important this is because when we come to understand this, it ultimately creates a more loving atmosphere in the church and in our families and in our communities when we're that willing and humble to admit that we're wrong and that we need forgiveness. It puts us all on the same level. Jesus came to be among us, to forgive us and to forget. So why do we need to confess our sins? We need it because we need to be exposed before God and we need to be expunged by God. Thanks be to God for the good news. Amen.